Good morning. Yeah, let's pause and commit our time to our wonderful God. Our great God and our Father, we come before thee in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our only access, but oh, such a ready access unto thee, our God. Thank you, Father, thank you for granting us this marvelous privilege to come into your very presence. Help us, our Father, lend your enabling as I speak, as others listen, that thy word may light upon us, giving place to thy spirit to illuminate us into the marvelous grace and truth brought to this earth by our Lord Jesus Christ. Bring our knowledge, our Father, to understand us, that we may spiritually discern and spiritually praise and worship and honor you, our God. We look to thee rejoicing, giving thee thanks in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. There are handouts. Most people hopefully receive one. Okay. Last time that I had the privilege to be with you all, seeking to open God's Word together, our theme was Let God Arise. And with that, we saw some very serious stumbling blocks to the world at large, and sadly, in the church today. Stumbling blocks of human reasoning that leads to self-confidence, that leads to self-centeredness, that leads to self-righteousness. A downward spiral, very crippling, very disabling, and sadly affecting the Church of God today. Last week, I was very encouraged, enthused with Brother Andrew's message. He spoke on what it is to follow the Lord Jesus. And that was particularly enthusing to me because I had the very same topic for this morning. What it is to follow the Lord Jesus. So we'd like to continue that theme, let God arise. Our flesh so easily can seek to bring us into subjection to our circumstances or how I feel or whatever. But oh, that we would let God arise. And particularly this morning, to let God lead, that he may indeed arise in our lives. By way of introduction, Isaiah 51 and 1 says, "Listen to me, you who pursue or follow righteousness, you who seek the Lord." So that there is a following of righteousness encouraged in the Old Testament, and this in keeping with those who seek the Lord. Psalm 94, verse 15, "For justice will return to the righteous, and all the upright in heart will follow it. Again, a following of the things of God. Justice, returning to the righteous, and to engage in the pursuit of it. The upright in heart will follow it. Psalm 63:8. My soul follows hard. It clings. It cleaves to adhere like glue to you, my God. Your right hand upholds me. So certainly in the Old Testament, we're instructed to follow on, to know the Lord, to press on. In 1 Peter 2 and 21, Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. Is that's the challenge, but much more than a challenge, the grand opportunity before us today is to follow in his steps. I would encourage you that if you have your own Bibles to turn to the book of John. I provide the verses here on the sheet. For some it's hard to keep flipping pages or whatever. But I encourage you to, in your own Bible, if you have it handy, otherwise follow along on the sheet. And the reason being, when I believe it was Ezra, there was a grand reading of the scriptures, and it specifically says that and Ezra opened the book. So it's good for us to open our books in like manner and get familiarity with the Word of God as it's printed before us. But for others that have a hard time keeping up, flipping pages, whatever, we provide the verses here. It's very interesting. In the book of John, there's a panorama of following the Lord Jesus. We find a progressive heart steps involved in following him. And they're brought before us here in the book of John. First, there are three three foundational principles that we must attend to be able to follow the Lord Jesus. Chapter 3, verse 3, truly, truly, I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The first essential to following the Lord Jesus is to be born again, to be born from above. Another way it's put in the scripture is to have repentance toward God, an acknowledgement of our sin and a desire to turn away from it by the grace and enabling of God. And that being repentance, having repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing on him that when he was on that cross some 2,000 years ago, he was right there for me, bearing my personal sins, every last one of them. The first fundamental principle that we have here in the book of John is to be born again. The second, John 4 and verse 34, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Now here we find the Lord Jesus Christ, My food is to do the will of Him, the Father, that sent me. Marvelous, wonderful thing to be born again, to be born from above, to be brought into the family of God, sins forgiven. But there must be an identification with God. There must be an acknowledgement that, whoa, my will is misleading, misguiding. It can cause me to trip up. My will is of myself. I need God's will. And to have a pursuit for God's will. The very Son of God was this way toward His Father. His very food, His sustenance, His day-by-day sustenance, reason for being, was to do the will of another, to do the will of His Father. The third foundational principle we have of following the Lord Jesus, John 5, verse 30. Again, this is the Christ of God. And here in this verse, I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just. Because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. The very Christ of God declaring me that He can do nothing on His own. He that spoke and all the heavens, the universe, everything came into being by the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet here He says, I can do nothing on my own. What purposefulness ought we to have and to see that we can do nothing on our own? In the words of the Lord Jesus, without me, you can do nothing. So three very important principles. To be born from above. To desire to do the will of God. Not my will, my will surrendered. Not my will, thy will be done. And the third, dependence upon God. I don't want to do anything on my own accord, for my own accord. I want to do as I am instructed and enabled by my loving God and Father and Lord Jesus Christ. At least 20 times in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the Lord Jesus said, follow me. At least 20 times, follow me. So let's explore a little bit. It's a vast subject. Brother Andrew addressed it last week. I'll seek to just carry on with the thoughts that I trust that God has given to me. The word follow that is most commonly used in these verses in John is to side with. To be a disciple, a follower. The actual Greek literal meaning is to have a union on a path. A union of at least two on a path, on a shared path. To follow. John 8, verse 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So here we find these three principles put into action. There's a walking here. Not walking in darkness, but walking in faith. Walking in the light of life. Our next progressive heart step here we find in John 10 and verse 4. And when he, referring to the Lord Jesus, puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. You know, we hear lots of voices, don't we? Voices at work, voices at home, voices digitally, voices on television. We hear all kinds of voices. We know of all kinds of voices. Oh, that we would come to know the voice of God. John 10 and verse 27. Not only knowing his voice, but here we read, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Not only knowing his voice, but hearing, choosing to want to catch every word, hearing an attentive ear to the voice of God, seeking to be obedient, attentive, listening to his voice. Another heart step we find is in John 12, verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now another heart step, to serve him. To serve him. To be counted as a bondslave. Here on earth, to be a bondslave, it's to men, to mankind. It might be to, in many today, it's to their own governments. It's a hurtful thing, a harmful thing, a shameful thing. But before our mighty and loving God and Father and Savior Lord Jesus Christ, there's no greater privilege in time, in eternity, than be a bondslave of him. He's the best of masters. We'll look into that a little bit more later. But it even gets richer. It even gets better. John 13, verse 25. He, referring to the apostle John, he then lying on Jesus' breast. My, oh my. Probably each of us have had those times where we feel very down, destitute, dependent on something happening and it doesn't happen. What a privilege to recline on the breast of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in effect, to recline on his breast. Just put our heads down on our arms, lean on a pillow, lean on the seat or the back of a chair and say, Father knows. My dear Savior, he's ahead of me. I just need to trust in him. Follow him. But there's even more. There's even more. John 15, verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Oh my. Catch what that is saying. as the Father has loved the Son. The Lord Jesus Christ declares here, so have I loved you. That we would enter into that special, special, special love of the Son of God for us. And it keeps going on. John 21, verse 12. Jesus saith unto them, come. Now hear the word come. It says come with an exclamation point. Come here. Come now. And dine. It's not a command. It's a desire expressed by the Lord. Come and dine. None of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was of the Lord. And here they were, supping over a meal with the Creator of the universe. In these heart steps, it's all a matter of yielding more and more to our great God. Heart steps that are that our hearts can be softened. Ever desiring to follow him and to become closer and closer and closer to him as we follow. John 21 and 19. Perhaps the epitome of what's brought before us here in following the Lord Jesus, having a heart, being a people of heart. This spake he, signifying by what death he, that is Peter, should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. The Lord had already told the disciples that he was to die. Here, he's telling Peter, that Peter would die prematurely for his name's sake. I hope you can see a heart that is softening to follow the Lord Jesus, even unto death. If it costs me my earthly life, my time here on earth, to end, so be it. I want to follow my dear Savior. Okay, we're going to spend the rest of our time. There's three different manners of the Lord Jesus that we just want to explore. And I trust their enticement for us to follow him. There's all kinds of enticements in this world, but everything is fake and fraud. As far as eternity goes, misleading, misguiding, and pulling us down rather than lifting us up and strengthening us. So let's take three different manners, I'll call them, of the Lord Jesus. The first being the moral glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the quality of his gentleness, his goodness, and the quality of the expectations that he has for us and toward us. When we mention words like mercy, loving kindness, compassion, servant-hearted, there's no man conceived no mortal man that begins to measure up with those qualities. But our Lord Jesus Christ, he's the one, and the only one. He excels. So the Lord Jesus, what's he saying when he says, follow me? Outwardly, it's in conduct, actions, speech. Inwardly, it's in godly character. And upwardly, it's ever abiding in him, having a consciousness of his abiding presence in me, each of us can say. And we are abiding a presence in him. In Matthew 9, verse 36, or just before we read this verse, there's been times when I've been in a crowd, or multitude of people, and invariably I get to feel closed in, and I might be with someone else, and they're... we're getting separated, and there's more and more people between us, and oh wow, how do I get over there? You know, it's just a confining thing, and oh my, we got to get out of here. But when the Lord Jesus, when he saw the multitudes, people in need, people denying him, defying his Father, when he saw the multitudes, now we'll read the verse, Matthew 9, verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Mm. Hosea 6 and 3 speaks of the readiness of our God. He's always at hand. Every one of his children, he abides in us individually, not just collectively, but individually. Lovely verse, Hosea 6 and verse 3. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. As the dry, parched ground needs rain, it needs the fresh dew of the morning, so our Lord Jesus Christ desires to light upon each and every one of us. This phrase here, his going forth is prepared as the morning. Just as certain as the sunrise of each day, Almighty God, fresh as the dawn, is right there, waiting to hear your voice, waiting to comfort, waiting to guide. The Lord Jesus Christ. We also read in God's Word, he's characterized as the bright and morning star. So fresh, so available, right there for us. We also read of the balm of Gilead in Jeremiah, Genesis. Healing balm that was used far and wide. In Philippians chapter 2, there's a remarkable portion. I'm pretty sure it's on the handout. I put it there. Let this mind, let this attitude, this disposition, let this desire of heart be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And it goes on to speak of his humility. Our Brother Andrew addressed this last week. So no need for further comment. Isaiah 40 in verse 11. Again, just wrapping up regarding the moral glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the beauty, the of his nature, of his character. Isaiah 40, verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with him. The only hindrance is, are we willing? He's right there. Okay. Our next item is the quality of his submission. Like slavery, submission, I guess submission is seen like slavery. That's the last thing I want. That's the last thing I need. To anybody other than God? Oh, yes, okay. Other than where God has ordered and directed it, clearly in his word. But the Lord Jesus, he had such a submissive attitude. He was in complete submission to his Father. And that's what provided such an endearing relationship of the Father to the Son. The Son so willfully put himself under the Father. And I know I've said this a number of times, but it took me decades to see the value of submission. And it's to the it carries with it the tremendous blessing of strength in fellowship, strength in relationship, and sweetness of relationship. So the Son, so very attentive to the Father, to the Holy Spirit, always, as it were, holding himself accountable to the Father. And so with us, it's so much more than knowing that God has sovereign authority over us. But to follow the Lord Jesus, we must live it. We need to live yielding, submissive to the Most High God. We see this in the Lord Jesus. Luke 2, verse 49. Only 12 years old. And the Lord Jesus is saying to his parents, I must be about my Father's business. So yielded. I have a work that the Father's given me. I must attend to it. Luke 23, verse 46. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. The last words on the cross. Just before dismissing his body unto death, physical death. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Just constantly commending himself to God. Daniel prayed three times a day. Daniel didn't pray three times a day because that's what he did when he was young, or because that's what he was told to do. by someone. No, it was Daniel's heart reaching out to God in dependence, in submission, looking to God. And that's what prayer is. Matthew 26, verse 58. Just prior to the crucifixion, the Lord Jesus Christ was apprehended in the garden, taken away by the Jewish soldiers. Matthew 26, 58. Right at that time, we read, "But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with his servants to see the end." Peter was curious. He was following, but afar off. I can't help but wonder, as I look back on my life, how many times was I just curious about religious things rather than following, following hard, pressing on. Unto our great God. Where are we? Are we following at all? Have we been born again? Have we taken that step of faith, repentance toward God, desire to turn from our sin, to turn unto God's will, God's ways? With belief on the Lord Jesus Christ? So that we can follow him, and not at a distance, but step with heart, step by heart step, drawing closer and closer and closer to our wonderful, wonderful God. Oh, his desire to have us as his own. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, "And he saith unto them, Follow. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." These were fishers of fish. I will make you fishers of men. The Lord wants to give us a new identity. Matthew 9, verse 9. "And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him." Now Matthew, he was a tax collector, held in low regard, probably by nearly all the Jews, held in contempt by many. But the Lord went to Matthew. You might say, so undeserving, whatever. But the Lord knows. So the Lord wants to give us a new identity. And here with Matthew, it was a new path. No more tax collecting, no more siding up with the Romans to extract from your own people. A new path. Psalm 25:4 says, "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths." Matthew 16 and 24. Brother Andrew also shared on this one, but just a brief comment here. Let's read it again. "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Here we find a new life purpose. Mark 10, verse 21. "Then Jesus, beholding him, loved loved him and said unto him, one thing you lack. This is to the rich young ruler. Go your way, sell whatever you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. Sadly, the scripture goes on, the rich young ruler went off. He treasured his possessions more than to the grand privilege to follow the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus had a new treasure for him, far beyond life eternal. It was to know him and to follow him. What a treasure, personally. So personal. So a new identity, a new path, a new life purpose, a new treasure. Oh, what God has in store for us. But we must be found yielding. I find it one of the hardest things to do. But oh, the blessedness in it. The third aspect, the extent of the reality of his sufferings. We've looked at the moral glory of the Lord Jesus, that beautiful perfection of character, that he wants to reveal to us, that he wants to encourage us and comfort us with. We've looked at his submission to the Father and our need of consequent submission to him, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the third aspect that was pressed on me is the extent of the reality of his suffering. To follow the Lord Jesus, it will involve suffering, physically, mentally, emotionally, at the hands of those that of perpetrators that hate our great God. The scripture says that all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. All, not some, whatever. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's not going to be an easy road. Was it an easy road for the Lord of glory when he was on earth? Absolutely not. Well, to follow him, we're going to find that we're on the same things will take place that took place with him. There will be suffering. There will be rejection. 1 Peter 2:21. I believe we read this earlier, but again, for emphasis, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Christ suffered for us. This is the Christ of God. Christ is the Messiah. He's the anointed one of God. Anointed, King David was anointed with oil to be king over Israel. The Lord Jesus, he's the Messiah. He's the anointed one to rule and to reign over everything. And yet, because Christ also suffered for us. Oh, the price. Oh, the cost to pay our penalty, to make us his own. First Peter 4, verse 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, okay, here it again, it's the Christ, the anointed one, to rule and to reign, has suffered for us in the flesh, his time while he was here on earth. Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, with the same same attitude. No matter what, I'm going to honor my God. I'm going to follow Jesus, the Christ. Arm yourselves likewise with this mind, with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Discontinued the practice of sin. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. A couple of encouraging verses, Revelation 14 and 4. These are they which follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. These believers follow the Lamb wherever he went, whether it's unto death, whether it's unto shame, whether it's unto personal hardship and loss, following him. They were there, wherever he went. And then, as an encouraging note, Revelation 19, verse 14, whatever we suffer in this life for his name's sake, it will come to an end. And here in Revelation 19, 14, the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Oh, that we'd be found following the Lord Jesus. So in closing, Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yea, I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. What a declaration of Almighty God. Oh, that we would yield to him and in faith embrace this truth, because we'll find that as we do, we will be embracing him and he embracing us. And then finally, our last point here is to just ponder Mary, the sister of Martha. There's a few Marys in the Bible. This particular Mary, sister of Martha, I believe she's only mentioned three times, or three instances in the scriptures. In Luke 10, we find Mary there, Mary, the mother of Martha. The Lord Jesus was in her home. Martha was all occupied with serving. Mary had such a desire. I'm sure she was desirous to serve, but she had a greater desire to sit at Jesus' feet and hear his word. What a follower of the Lord Jesus. Teachable. Moldable. Such a desire to know more of him. And there she was, at his feet. I believe the next time we find Mary, it's over in John chapter 11. this is at the raising of, well, this is at the death of Lazarus, before the Lord Jesus commanded him to come out of the grave. Verse 31, Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to meet there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down once again at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. We find here Mary weeping, but at his feet. She knew the source. She knew where to go. And then the third one, just over into chapter 12, after the raising of Lazarus, some time had passed. The Lord was back in their home in Bethany. And chapter 12 of the book of John, verse 2, where they had made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with them. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. So here's Mary, teachable, moldable, sensitive to the effects of sin, and then worshiping in each one at his feet. Oh, to follow the Lord Jesus. What a grand, grand privilege. It's not going to be easy on earthly terms, but on spiritual terms, there's nothing more exalting, nothing more exuberating, nothing more rewarding than to follow him, to be found submissive at his feet, following him. And let's close in prayer. Our great God and our Father, we thank you, we praise you, Father, for your precious word of truth, your written word that we can learn from, but oh God, our Father, your living word. Oh, that we would be found following you, closer and closer and closer, taking needful heart steps. Not tasks, but privileges. Heart steps, closer and closer, following our Lord Jesus Christ. May we be found so. In that name above every name of our Lord Jesus Christ,